Meeting to order. The reason for our get together tonight is naturally the budget. We will be going over the parks, golf, highway, facilities, and administration budget. What I'm going to stress this evening is that for committee members, anyone going over this budget this evening, citizens, that there's three times to discuss this budget. This is the first time, naturally, for this committee. We are going to have a chance at the Finance Committee, and then we're going to have a chance at the County Board floor when we eventually pass this budget. It will be amended, I am sure. What I'm asking this committee this evening to do is to take in consideration anything that you have questions on. If there's questions that can't be answered this evening, we have time to do that. But if there's changes that you want to make, I would prefer certainly that it be done at the committee level, so that when we go to the Finance Committee, we go from a position of not only knowledge of the budget that we've seen here, but we also go and say, this is what we want as a committee. This is what we want for facilities, this is what we want for golf, this is what we want for highways. And that's the position, not only to not embarrass the committee, there's nothing worse than having things change, something you lost, something you missed at your committee meetings. But it's very important to the people that elect us that we spend some time, we understood what we had before us, and we took the time to go through it. So tonight's the night for this committee to do it. You will have, as I said, two more times, but I would certainly prefer that we hash things out this evening and gave our best to the Finance Committee and on the County Board floor. Roll call, we have everyone here but James. Ashley's here from Youth and Governance. James, Billy is not. We have the full committee here. Approval of the minutes of the previous meeting. If everyone has received those.
I move to approve. Second.
Moved by Supervisor Noble, seconded by Supervisor Dodge. To approve the minutes. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Youth and Governance? Thank you. I guess I jumped ahead because I gave my chairman comments. Committee members, supervisors in attendance, Youth and Governance, any comments?
Just a question.
Yes, sir.
How do you want to add, if we have any questions, do you want us to ask as we go along, or just wait till
as we go, and what we're going to do is take each unit separately. So as we go, yes. Any questions? The other thing that we're going to do, maybe a little unusual this evening, is that for citizens' comments, we're also going to have citizens' comments individually here this evening. So my way of looking at this, however the staff wants to start this, whatever division we get into, we're going to have citizens' comments prior to that. So if it's parks, golf, we're not going to make people way ahead of time here comment on the whole budget because we haven't gotten into it. Anything else from committees, committee members? Supervisor Dodge.
I have some items that I brought up today. Dave, and he told me that maybe I might want to just bring him up at committee today. Tried to get these answers ahead of time, like he said. And I did get some answers, but he didn't have anything for me. So just to let you know, when I ask questions, I already asked some questions.
Right. Earlier. All right, we're going to move on to citizens' comments. at large here, any citizens that wish to address the committee before we get into the budget here, you'd have 5 minutes to speak, and we have a live microphone there at the podium. Any citizens that wish to address the committee? If not, at this time, citizens' comments are closed. But again, I will allow citizens' comments on each division.
Before we start debating, right?
Correct. So we're going to move on. Review and approval of the 2013 proposed budget and the CIP for highway, golf parks, and facilities.
Mr. Chairman, give kind of an overview of things and turn it over to Mr. Kupfer to kind of walk us through things. But basically, what we tried to do, the document he handed out to everybody tonight, was it's the page that's up there right now. It's the whole Public Works Department at a glance. It basically summarizes all of the operating expenditures and revenues and the capital spending and the changes from 1 year to the next. We kind of tried to do it one page at a glance so you get a pretty good snapshot of the whole deal. Public Works is a division, I should say as a department, our total, if you look on the far left or far right column, up the fourth number up, where it's 77,000 to change, that's what our levy is increased relative to last year. But there's a couple things I want to say just as caveats to that. There's one operation that we do every 2 years in highway department, which involves gravel crushing on a contract basis, which is about $140,000. This year happens to be the year. So had we not had to do that, it would have been less than, we would have had a negative. We would have had a decrease in our levy request for the total department. And the other thing is, you'll see as Jim walks through this, there's a division, not really a division, but it's a unit, a work unit, now called KCC Support. And what central administration has wanted to do in pretty much all the county buildings is take those resources that are kind of pooled in that building and start to pull them together in a single place, and that's what KCC Support is. Those are not new funds, those are funds that existed in other department budgets out here at KCC, but they're now centralized in one pot, and that pot happens to be in the public works budget. So had not the $95,000 been centralized in our budget, again, we would have had a net decrease in our levy. But that's just, like I said, that's kind of just where we're at. We're right at the cusp of a zero increase, and had those two events not occurred, we would have had a decrease in the levy. The basic format is then we've got this at a glance, and then each department has a page. We tried to summarize the department operations, giving the committee a summary of the operating expenses, revenues, significant changes from last year to this year, little notes about that to give a little description, and then a summary of all the capital. So we tried to do it in a way that hopefully is, you know, it's really easy to understand, ties directly back, all the numbers will tie back, all the detail you've got from the big budget book, but this was kind of a nice way to summarize stuff, hopefully. Yeah, over to Mr. Kupfer.
So do we have any questions on this overview, Mike?
Mr. Chairman, with the KCC Support, how many departments does that now cover versus everything spread across?
It's P&D, Planning Development, okay. UW Extension, Human Services got their satellite office out here, and Public Works.
So four lines of kind of those you put them together.
Yep.
Okay. And is there a comparison to what those individuals costs are? Is that kind of summarized?
I think that we'll get into it. There's okay, actually a page further deep that I think we'll get into it. I think.
Thank you.
So any other questions on the overview here, Supervisor?
Yeah, you mentioned UW Extension. I saw that in the planning and development budget, so you share their expenses?
The KCC Support thing, like I say, when Jim gets into that, he'll explain how some of those expenses that were formerly in UW Extension, formerly in P&D, to some extent, to a limited extent, in the Human Services, those are now solidified in one, centralized in one area called KCC Support. Not all of them, but that's the start to get it moving in that direction. There's something similar in the Human Services building. There's something similar down at the administration building downtown. So it's basically to be consistent with that kind of a model.
Basically, Supervisor Dodge, what it is the things that are done for those groups in this building. Not their wages, not their actual budget, but the things that are done by a support group that supports this building that all of these people benefit from. So it would get down to, and we will hear, but it would get down to everyone that benefits from certain work done in this building. There's no new hires. It's a way of streamlining the budget process. Supervisor Noble.
In the overview, you mentioned gravel crushing is a two-year operation. Isn't there a way that we could amortize, you know, that cost over 2 years so that we can spread out the levy a little bit?
Perhaps. Is it something that happens about every 2 years, 2 to 3 years?
It's 3 years, actually. Last time was 2010. This one will be 2013. It's a three-year cycle.
And is there a way to level it off, you know? I mean, so that we can spread that cost out over 3 years as opposed to putting it in whatever year we have to put the bid out?
I can only tell you about the usage, and it is pretty equal over those years. As far as your question, that's really a finance question that I don't know the answer to.
Mr. Schwartz, you should be able to answer that.
We could budget for it and carry it over, but it's just easier to have a material amount of things I can worry about the budget of the year that we're going to use it to be able to go into crush and gravel.
So,
and in theory, if I'm not mistaken, we bring somebody in and get crush and gravel and we use it to support for crushing gravel.
Correct.
I hear.
The reason we do it once every 3 years is it's a very large operation that comes in to crush the material that's in our pit. So that's the reason we only do it once every 3 years. And the larger the quantity that per company is crushing, the lower the cost to them and thus the lower the price to us. So it's to our advantage to have them come in the least amount of times and crush the largest amount of gravel that we can afford to do at any given time. And we found that once every 3 years is pretty much historically where we get the best cost per ton.
All right.
Anything else on the overview?
Sure.
Yes, sir.
I think what I was asking is, could you just budget that each year to take that cost that you look over last five times you've done it, divided by three, we carry the portion of that each year in the budget rather than this big spike.
When we put it back, well, we just don't feel it's material at this particular point.
Okay.
Every year. We just have it historically.
Okay. We look at it. Thank you.
Anything else? If not, we're going to move on to my first page here, which is parks. Which is page 81 to 90 in your budget book. At this time, I'm going to ask if there's any citizens' comments on parks. If not, citizens' comments will be closed, and we'll move on.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to, there was a request that came through from the Finance Committee to have the Kemper folks come in and just talk for a few minutes underneath the parks umbrella. And if you don't mind, have Don or Nancy speak. They'll be their spiel for a few minutes, and then we'll go into the rest of the parks.
And what will they be discussing?
Just a brief, what their plans are. It was asked of the Finance Committee just to give a report of what they did this year and what they're spending their capital money on.
Okay, certainly.
And I gave everybody a handout. We're not going to go through the handout. It's like 9 pages long. In there is their fall newsletter. There's a P&L for on a year-to-date basis. There's one page that just lists what their capital spending is for this year and then really what they're going to do next year. And then at the end of it is their last year annual report. So we have Don Gillespie and Nancy Weatherhead here from Kemper.
Good evening.
Would you like to
stand up?
Probably at the mic, yes. And welcome.
Mr. Chairman, as supervisors and professional staff and fellow citizens. My name is Don Gillespie. I'm the president of the Kemper Center, and I've been warming that chair for about 2 weeks now. I have with me this evening Nancy Weatherhead, who is the general manager of the operation. We did prepare for you a report of activity, included a copy of the most recent annual report to the Kemper Center membership, our 2011 financial statement of activity, a comparison of activities to our annual budget through August of 2011, and a listing of the capital and maintenance improvement projects that were done in 2012, along with a brief discussion of the items we are considering in 2013. Our budget process is goes on about the same time yours does. We'll be presenting our budget to the Kemper Center Board for approval, we hope, in November. The Building and Grounds Committee will be working to finalize the specific projects they'd like to tackle in the coming year at their committee meeting Wednesday evening. My direct line, if you have any questions about Kemper Center, is 657-2537. Don at kempercenter.com is my email address, and I'm prepared to, if I can't answer, find the answers to any queries you might have about how we're protecting and preserving the parkland, the facilities, and operating your historic cultural center. If you have any questions this evening, I'll do my best to satisfy them.
Thank you, Don. Any questions from the committee at this time? I think we're good at this moment.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. So we'll move on to the Supervisor Dodge.
Yeah, I see Kemper Center, we got land improvements and building improvements that went from big increase from $50,000 to $320,000 in land improvements. From zero to $306,000 in building improvements.
That'll be handled through the presentation on the parks here.
Oh, okay.
That'll be explained to you.
Okay.
Hey, Jim.
As Ray pointed out, what you're looking at the screen right now is a summary of the entire Public Works Department. If you flip to page 2 of the handout, the legal size handout, you'll see on the top of a box that has all of the parks information in it, their levy for their operating spending. These are the same numbers that are on the first page. The top is the spending, the 2013 budget compared to 2012, increases or decreases. The middle section is the notes. That refers back to the individual accounts that you may or may not have questions on from the budget book, and these are explanations. And then the bottom is the 2013 capital budget. It includes items over $25,000, any items between $5,000 and $25,000. To answer Supervisor Dodge's question, I can answer that one first.
Yes.
That is the bottom. On the bottom there is the increase in the land improvements is the parking lot and the bike path. There's $250,000 for Kemper. They put a bike path through there. I think the city paid for a portion of it, but the county will pay for their portion of it. They're going to do a new parking lot at Kemper, and then they're going to fix up, I think that's 66th Street, the one right next there to Anderson Park. They're going to fix up that parking lot. So that's $250,000. Increase in land improvements from 2012 to 2013.
That's to be done next year? Through the chair, I'm sorry.
Yes, next year. And the roof replacement, our actual yearly supplement to Kemper, Jim, has that changed?
I'm sorry, what?
Our actual yearly supplement to Kemper hasn't changed.
No.
This is improvements to our property, not a increase to Kemper Center.
So the largest item in the building improvements is the replacing of the roofs. Yeah, just go back down. Do you want me to read through each of these individual items, or do you want to read them yourselves, or do you have any questions on the parks area for the detail in the book?
On the CIP?
I was flipping back to the operating expenses, but I can go through them one by one and read them, or...
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I think if we focus on the... Jim, you've got pretty much in the center section there those significant changes from last year to this year. If we go through that, I would hope it answered most of the supervisor's questions. If there's another one,
I think it will. Yeah.
That's the way to do it. Okay.
Yep.
In the salary area, there's a net decrease. There's a KCC support person, which we'll talk about in a minute, came out of the salaries. And then there was a group leader that was transferred from salaries to seasonal payroll, which is why the seasonal payroll is up, but at a, we had a savings when we transferred that person out to replace a full-time person with a seasonal person. And there's also, the salary also includes a reclass of the parks GM and an in-range adjustment for the parks foreman. Any questions on the retirement or the medical? Those are per formulas. For program changes. KCC support, that is the cost of clerical assistance from the finance department. Other professional services. In 2012, we had $25,000 for the sewer patch study, the park development study. And this year, there's $21,000 for grant writing assistance. So there's a decrease in that budget. Miscellaneous contractual services is down from last year to this year. There were some semi-annual inspections, which we had to do last year, which we will not have to do in 2013. For gasoline, pretty much throughout all of these budgets, we go in and we take a close look at what the actual usage is. And then we also look at what we've been paying for gas. We've been paying, the 2012 budget was at $3.30 a gallon, and we don't pay all the taxes, so you don't see a $3.70, $80, $90 number. You see what we pay. So we, our budget was raising it slightly for 2013 with a little bit of the usage up because we're running a little bit ahead of where we thought we'd be for 2012. There was also a small increase in the Pringle donation and a small increase in our donation to the Historical Society, both based on increases in operating expenses. The revenue for 2013 will be about the same as the 2012 budget, but in 2012 we were running low because with the shutdown of the park to do all the rework and make it beautiful, did not rent out shelters, and so we're going to lose, I think, $20,000 to $25,000 worth of income this year. But next year's budget is about the same as this year's budget. And there's two little bullet points there. One is Kemper, which Mr. Gillespie just gave, and the other is Powers Lake property update. And I think we've been talking about that at our committee meetings, but there is a little bit of money in the capital there, $20,000, when this finally goes through for the area cleanup and some restoration to the park. Nothing significant, but there is a building out there, and there's a pile of asphalt, and we're not exactly sure how we're going to spend it, but there will be some cleanup and restoration of that building needed. Capital?
We'll hold for a second. See if we have any questions on that notes section from the committee. President Noble?
Well, you had said that you were going to explain further the KCC support. Other than this line here, it's the KCC support, X charge, cost of clerical assistance from the finance department. Can you explain that a little further now? It's $38,000. Nothing last year.
Yeah, if everyone could kind of just flip to page 8 of the handout. In 2012, was 3.5 people that support the public works area, and the salary amounts are shown for parks. There's 0.75 person, and for golf there's 0.75 person. We had one clerk and then a half a clerk, and we split them 50-50. And then there's one person who supports highway, and those dollars were in the 2012 dollar amounts in parks and golf highway. And then there was a person who also supports this area in the finance department. And the total dollars associated with those people in 2012 was $242,000. Changes are being made to the 2013 budget to take the headcount and move them out of the Parks, Golf, Highway Department. That was 2.5 people. Move the headcount into finance. Move all of the dollars into finance. And if you go to the I don't know what page it is in the big book. There's the finance department, their headcount. You'll see those additional people in there. And then the dollars, the headcount remains in there, but the dollars are then cross-charged back to the various departments that they support. So there'll be a total of $242,000 charged out of finance, a chunk of it going right back into parks as an interdepartmental cross-charge, a chunk of money going back into golf as an interdepartmental cross-charge, a chunk of money going back into the highway department. So the highway department's actually a larger amount in 2012 or 2013 than it was in 2012, although the person was always in the highway department doing highway department work. And then also there's a half a person, about a half a person, who will go into this KCC administration or the KCC support services. So the headcounts are the same, the dollars are the same, it's just moved from one department to another department. So if you actually go to the finance department and look at their budget, you'll see the total spending in there, and at the bottom there's a dollar cross charge out. So it helps really get a better idea of what it costs to for finance in total, and then the net after their support services are cross-charged out to these departments. So I hope this explains, and it affects every department except facilities.
Doug, you're still
A couple more questions. Can you explain on the cover page 82 parts? Got a 0.25 full-time employee in golf and parks. And I know, again, you have a note that basically repeats that, but can you explain what it's a group leader? What does the group leader do, and how is it determined that he or she is now should be adjusted 0.25?
Supervisor Noble? A group leader is basically either leads a small crew during the day, or in the absence of the foreman, runs the entire end, either west end or east end. So he's technically a foreman, which is not as much duties most of the time, working group leader. So, I mean, if there's no projects going on, everybody's cutting grass and doing everything else, he's just out there working on buildings or whatever else it is that a normal maintenance man would do. But we did, we no longer have any full-time group leaders. It used to be a union position, and now it's a long-term seasonal position.
Okay, how did it determine that 0.25 needs to move from golf to parks? I see Al raising his hand back there. If you can move up and talk in them, because I couldn't hear anything you said last.
If you recall, when we dealt with the parks union, we had the last union contract that we had, that yes, as members of the parks union would retire, we would replace those seasonal workers, and that's in effect what we're doing here, is we lost a group leader, a union employee, and we're replacing it.
I was working off of the book here on page 99. Is that what you're talking about, interdepartmental charges?
Okay. Yes.
And that's why we went from account 519990 from zero to 137,740. And account 529900, that one doubled because of the employees shifting around.
Yeah.
We just to give it a broad sense. We basically, the county executive, when he came into office, moved all the financial functions under the finance department. What we're trying to essentially do here is take those bodies, recognize them in finance under the finance director, and then cross charge those employees back to the department so that we get a true cost of allocation of the cost of those employees in the department. So the actual cost of the employees in the finance department, and cross charge, interdepartmental charges back to the department for that employee's time. Make it any clearer?
Yeah, 137,740. How many employees are we talking about?
In
the department, 35,000?
That's highway.
That's highway. Well, highway is a different thing. When we get to highway, there's more that went on than the interdepartmental charges.
Yeah. All right.
There's no new employees.
There's no new employees in parks.
Okay.
Supervisor Kulisky.
Mr. Chairman, just with the shared services activity, because I'm very familiar with it, I think it's a great idea. Do each one of the individuals, are they still going to reside kind of in their department, or are you kind of pulling them, and as requests come in, they, you know, first come, first served, or, and if they find themselves as the goal, maybe I'm getting too much into the notion too. They find themselves, hey, I'm a little light, I'm going to go help, you know, this other department out. Is that kind of the idea behind it?
Yes.
Okay.
But basically, they'll be sitting in the same chair. It's the same people.
Just how it's being
used. How they're being used, budget. Yes.
Yeah.
And where they're budgeting.
And gives them a little bit of greater flexibility, so if somebody is a little underutilized, they can have somebody who can give you a large request.
Yes.
Okay.
And these people are pretty good at doing that now, but yeah, as far as the budget and the dollars, they're just in a different place.
Okay. Thank you.
So, okay, and to get a clarification, retirement is up per formula, and medical insurance is down for program changes. Now, the program changes would be what? Partly due to the contributions that employees are starting to make, or what do you mean by program changes?
Changes in the health plan. If the employee pays more, if the county will pay less.
Okay, so it does, part of a factor of that would be employee contributions.
Yeah.
And then I'm not quite sure why most of them, if I recall, the retirement is down, but this particular one, parts is up. I'm not sure why. I can understand why it would be down because employees are now contributing towards the retirement. I don't really see why one would go up and one up.
Yeah.
There's two basic reasons. Parks employees are still union employees. Full amount for those employees that the last ones left. The other thing is, last year employees contributed 5.9% to Wisconsin retirement for the employee portion. This year it goes up. It's either 6.56 or 6.65. I don't remember exactly the thing, but it's basically the employee and employer contribution is increasing.
And you say they're the last ones left. I thought the deputies were left too.
Oh, yeah, excuse me. The deputies are also.
Jim?
Any more questions, or should we move to capital, Aaron?
Let's move.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions there? Just, we can look at the items. We can explain any of them.
We already went through the Kemper things. The Katy Park we discussed. Riverbank Restoration. So is there any questions on any of the CIP? We'll move on.
Okay, page three is golf.
Okay, what I'm going to ask right now is for the committee to approve what's been put before us on the parks and send that to the finance committee. You know, tentatively approve. We can still discuss this evening, but I'd like to take each of these separately.
I move that we approve this in our committee and make a recommendation.
Yeah, that's good enough. We have a second?
Second
by Supervisor Skoliski. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Youth and Governance? Thank you. So we'll move on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Page three is the budget for golf. Again, it's in the same format as parks. Top part is expenses and revenues for golf compared to 2013 to 2012. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you, folks.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
Okay, we'll just go down the list of expenses. The salaries account is down. Again, it's the support cross charge. There's 30 some thousand comes out of there for golf. There's also been a position analysis for both the general manager and the golf superintendent. And this analysis supported a reclass of both of these positions. We have not, however, provided for any additional funding in this budget. Temporary salaries. The 2012 budget is, frankly, it's low. We set a target last year for golf to make a certain amount or to break even at a certain level based on their revenues, which we're exceeding this year. So we're increasing the budget for the seasonal or the temporary personnel this year. It'll be much more in line with what we're actually spending. We will overspend that budget this year, but the revenues will more than make up for that spending. We have been trying to keep you well informed on the profitability of the golf courses month to month, and we'll be doing more so at some of the future meetings. So that budget needs to go up. Again, there's retirement and medical insurance, changes for the plans or the formulas. They're also getting, the golf division has the support cross charge, which is the cost of support from the finance department. But it's just a transfer from other areas. Miscellaneous contractual services, there's two items that we don't have to do with 2013. The aerification of $7,000 and stump grinding for $6,000, so you'll see a decrease in that budget. Concession stock expenses will be up because of an increase in volume. Other operating expenses, we're exceeding that in 2012. The budget is a bit low for the current volume. The overall maintenance expenses, we will exceed budget this year, and it will look more like 2011 when the volume is up. That's a variable expense, fertilizer and things like that. So that budget's up slightly. Gas and oil, again, we raised the price that we're estimating we'll have to pay for gas next year from 330 to 340 at a volume of 31,000 gallons. And building maintenance supplies, we're increasing that because of just based on history, we're spending more than what we had anticipated. In revenues, the 2012 to 2013 budget is an increase of 3.8%. This budget is actually for 2013 lower, the way it looks right now, than the revenue we will have this year. It's higher than our original 2012 budget, but 2012 actual is much higher than where we thought it would be. I think, Dan, when are we going to hit budget? Is it next week, maybe?
Right.
Depends on what
this
kind of weather
should be this week. Should be this week that we'll hit budgeted revenue for 2012.
Okay, there's a few there. First one, the recommended reclass of the general manager for golf and course superintendent was supported by an analysis that was made, and we will be asking to fund this out of a part year, year-end closeout, if the operating profits permit. This is not in the budget at all. We are also recommending, or asking the committee to recommend, the development of a golf department performance recognition plan as part of the year-end closeout, if operating profits permit. Again, the golf division has to make money, neither of these two would happen. That also is not in the budget. And the budget does not reflect any changes to food and beverage operations, income, or revenues or expense, pending the results of the RFP that we're going through and any analysis that we have to do as a part of that RFP process. I don't know, Ray, if you want to add anything to these bullet points or...
The bullet points that Jim went over there, we had talked administratively about building into the budget actual recognizing the... Is anyone familiar with the reclassification process in the public sector? I won't go into it real deeply, but basically you probably have something similar in the private sector. We have a pay scale with all of the non-represented, all the non-union physician supervisory positions in that. And there's a system that Mr. Riedel could explain probably a heck of a lot better than I, but basically there's a point system assigned based on positions, responsibilities, number of supervisory responsibilities, critical nature of decision making, all that kind of stuff. You try to slot all these positions in the right place. And we had requested a reclassification analysis of Dan's position and Dave Hassan's position because I didn't feel it was in the appropriate spot relative to the other, given the nature of what it is they have to do. This is actually the second or third time I've requested it, but this, I think it's been found consistently that they do warrant moving into a higher classification given what it is they're responsible for doing. And really, you take Dan and Dave out of the picture, it's the positions themselves is what you're looking at. So you look at the positions and you evaluate them relative to using a fairly mechanical system. You say, based on this analysis, they really should be slotted here or there. So the analysis, as Bob will tell you when you completed it, really recommended those positions be moved into another area. We did build it into the budget. We thought, though, if we could fund that via our operating profits that allow the reclass to occur, that would be an appropriate vehicle to use since they wouldn't be levy dollars. So that's kind of the reclass piece of it. The second piece is the development of a golf department performance recognition plan. Again, this is a concept, an incentive plan or bonus plan that's been talked about kind of on and off over the last 2 years, that if golf ever gets to the point where we're in a position that we're actually turning the corner and heading in the right direction, people should be rewarded for that. And it shouldn't be limited to just the people at the top. It really should be something that's for the whole department. And so we haven't fully baked that concept yet, but we just want to at least get the concept before the committee formally. It's never really come before the committee. If it's something that's worth pursuing, then at least the committee could possibly make a recommendation to the finance committee that they support the concept, and we can flesh out the details of what exactly a plan like that would look like. One thing I can be sure of in conversations with the executive is that it would be something that would be department-wide. It would not be just limited to folks at the top of the chart. So that's why we included that. The last piece having to do with the RFP, I believe that the bids are due
Friday.
This Friday it is. And so once we get those in, we still plan on going through an analysis. We were disappointed by the number of folks that showed up for the mandatory walkthrough. With that said, we're still going to take a look, and hopefully we get some stuff that's interesting and worth at least digging into deeper, and we'll bring a full analysis back to the committee on what we recommend. But right now, there hasn't been any changes in the budget to reflect anything for that either.
Supervisor Noto?
Question on the personnel there. The 2012 budget is 1.362, and the 2013 will go up to 1.429. why is the reason that it's going up just about everybody else is going down?
Jim can probably spec out the details better than I, but I believe the main piece is because temporary salaries is in that line item as well, in that summarized personnel line item up above.
Yeah.
So it's really those notes down below there where temporary salaries were low this year, and the budget actually, we ran over, and we made enough revenue to more than cover those. But the 2013 budget is prepared with a more realistic figure of what our temporary salaries are, our seasonal salaries are going to be. That's a piece. And I believe then the retirement, medical insurance, the retirement, as we spoke, we still have two union, is it two or three? It's Rich and
Tom.
So it's two unionized positions that are still part of the 2013. Their contract runs through the end of 2013. So the retirement increases, the health insurance, all the stuff that's still part of the old plan, those increases are built into this as well. So that's probably the lion's share.
There's no change in the number of people or the hours that are working. 2012 budget for temporary salaries, when we looked at the revenue we thought we could generate, we just needed to make a cut to that number because we knew we had to operate with less money this year or with less salaries. For the 2013 budget, we can afford to raise that. Revenues will be up slightly. So the salaries will need that work in order to support the level of maintenance that will be needed for the golf courses.
So basically, you're saying we're not adding any other employees? So it would be
for the
same
seasonal
number?
Health, it's all based on the hours that they work. If business goes down and there's not as much golf, at the golf course, they tweet, they send those guys home and they don't work.
Okay, so we're adding hours, or we're projecting it's going to be more hours. But it's not an increase in salary itself.
No.
So just the hours.
President Dodge?
At our last public works meeting, I asked when the RFPs were going to be in for that food and beverage. I was understanding that it was going to be last week Friday. Did you move that up a week?
No. It hasn't changed from the original.
You might be thinking of the tower bids. Really? Because the tower bid was supposed to be due last Friday and then got bumped to this Friday.
No, I asked about the RFP because of the size. You said the bids would be in. I was told the bids would be in Friday. I was the assumption it was last Friday. You didn't move it up or anything?
No. We had a mandatory walkthrough, but that was
right before. Had any?
I'm sorry.
You hadn't had any bids yet?
No, nothing did.
Yeah. Just a walkthrough. Any other questions? Thanks, Chair.
I'm intrigued by ABLOC service for the investigation of the state of Rico. One of the things that I've asked about, I'm not sure if it's been fully vetted, is whether or not, you know, ultimately, I, as a supervisor of the city golf operation, be able to sustain themselves and that is the revenues they generate, but also can go back into the things that they want to. Those funds, whether it's capital improvements, it's equipment, or in this case, it gets back to the transportation plan. I think that's interesting. Have we made any inroads on that shift of how we handle golf revenues / expenditures, or is it still just whatever the revenues come in, it rolls back into the general fund for the upcoming budget for 2013?
Well, for the budget, we're basically budgeting that to be break even. So there wouldn't be any funds rolling back from golf into the general fund. In fact, I don't think you can see that.
The policy currently is that any shortfall would be transferred or covered within public works. If there's a surplus in golf, it would stay in the golf. That's the current policy that's on the books.
So it's already good.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah.
It does
we would use it for capital or whatever.
Yeah,
whatever.
Right.
You know, one little bullet point I failed to mention here is that if there's any excess funds, we're talking about using it maybe for a used for several different things. Of course, we've got to have that surplus first.
Do you not have that flexibility at this time, then? To whether it's recognition capital?
No.
No, he's not there. It can only be used for expenditures?
No. There's no policy in place on what to do with those funds. It's just that they remain in hand. And the suggestion here is to use is to put language in budget resolution so that we can use it for those three options.
And that's why we bring it up.
That's why we bring it up at this time.
Now, I certainly like the performance recognition plan. But obviously, it's got to be thought out in a new light. Are there any other departments right now that have something like that or they have the opportunity?
No, there isn't, and I don't think there, you know, this, it's obviously a fuzzy kind of an issue in the public sector, right? I work in the private sector, many folks here have. Not a fuzzy issue in the private. The public sector, it is. The one thing unique about golf is that it does, well, there's many things unique about it in our, the way we operate it, but the one thing is that there's no levy involved. If we were to implement something like this, there's no levy dollars. So it would never be taking tax levy dollars to pay a performance recognition thing. It would only be revenues that are generated in that business unit. There's not many other county departments that provide that kind of a structure.
Yeah.
There may be others, but there's really not many others.
Well, as an example, we have a big snowstorm. Maybe
a
department does an outstanding job getting the roads cleared. We'd all love to give those drivers a little bit, but it's not set up that way, right? So my only question, and I don't even know if it's a concern, or something for thought, is will it create a situation where there's a perception of unfair treatment or anything like that, that only that department has it? Or maybe it's just something that attracts your best and the brightest to the department.
Yeah, if it takes a department that has struggled for many years and gets it, hopefully keeps it in a good spot.
Okay. And so then the last thing on the recognition plan for this year, whether it's the reclassification, obviously revenues are up, expenditures down, and an outstanding job getting this operation heading in the right direction. It would just come out of whatever excess funds or revenue that they've generated, and then would there be a committee that would administer as they go through this trial, Riddell, or how do you guys
see that? Yeah, so the nuts and bolts of that, we have to kind of figure that out. It's new ground. We just wanted to get the concept up to the committee so that at least get folks talking about it and get it out there for discussion.
And Ray, this would be for 2013.
Right.
This wouldn't be anything that happens this year. That's what you're saying. My understanding.
You could do it either way. You could put it in place as something going forward with no look back kind of a situation. You could do a look back. It would be totally up for discussion as to how would be the appropriate way to do it. In my mind, having the mechanism in place, defining that mechanism, getting it in place so it's something that we have going forward is probably the most important thing.
I think it's something very important for this committee to understand that this is a totally new concept. And if you do introduce this, everyone's going to have to be in full understanding what it is. And it would have to go through the county board, the finance committee, and I don't even think you can recommend something like this. I think it has to be something that you acknowledge and that it may be in the in the budget document, and it's up to the full county board. If you implemented it for uh, 2013, you'd be looking at a full fiscal year for it to prove itself. If you acknowledged it now, it could be taken into effect for what has transpired in 2012, which I don't think anybody on the county board anticipated. So I think the committee actually needs to take a strong look just at those two bullet points. Supervisor Noble?
Yeah, I agree. I don't like the word recommend at all. I think it possibly have been looked at and brought forward and considered, but definitely not recommended that we develop it. And my concern would be, you know, in several levels. One would be, and I believe Brookside would qualify. They would be the next in line to want to do it. Registered deeds. She'd be the next, or she or he would be the next in line to want to do it. Those are two particular ones that just come off the top of my head that do and can, you know, be break even, or they can, and they can fluctuate wisely. That's another thing where, and the other thing I'm struggling with this is, I think last meeting I asked how have we done in the last 15 years. Regrettably, we haven't done as well as I had hoped in the last 15 years. So, you know, it's like this. So what are we going to do? The years that we're doing good, we're going to, you know.
Just like a business. Well, the years you do good, you reward people. The years you don't do good, you don't do anything.
2009, I took a 15% pay cut. I was a county employee. I took a 15% pay cut. And many people lost their jobs. Not too many. I don't, you know. And, you know, it's totally different. Very secure positions for the county. I don't know. I mean, I can, and then I'm struggling. I don't really think it's appropriate. I'm certain. However, I'm willing to look at it. But I think really, when we analyze the ramifications of the entire county, think of it beyond just golf, such as I just said, registered deeds, Brookside. The other department that could be in that position, I think it's a slippery slope. And then, especially with an operation that has so many years of not doing so well in the red. And then the other thing is, how much are the reclasses? How much did these reclasses come out that they would get each?
If the non-rep pay plan, I think, specifies that if you do a reclass, is it?
It's a minimum of 5% on the reclass. But the new proposal is not necessarily to raise, but rather to replace the jobs, to position them appropriately, like Rick said.
What? I'm struggling to hear you.
He said basically that the non-rep pay plan defines a 5% increase if the reclass is supported by the analysis and it moves up. But in this case, we want to get the positions in the right place they're supposed to be. It's because right now, the way they're set up, they're near the top. Both Dave and Dan are near the top of their range. Actually, Dave's at the top of his range. So they're not eligible for any increases at all. So they're basically locked in where they're at. And at least if we get the reclass done, they'll be in a range that will allow them at least to be eligible for step increases going forward. And like I say, the analysis supports that where the positions are right now isn't appropriate. That's why they're at the top.
I think what Supervisor Noble's asking is a dollar amount for the reclass.
Well, the dollar amount? We can do the math quick enough. You're about $70,000 a year. 5% is $3,500. So that's if it was done per the pay plan the way it's defined right now, it'd be $3,500 for Dan. Dave
and
makes Dave.
And about the same.
Just about the same. So it's about $3,500 a pound.
Carry money forward from one budget to another for a reclass. That's never carry forward funding, fund a reclass from one budget to another?
Well, I don't think we're looking at it carrying forward. What we're looking at is using a certain, if there was a surplus, funding the reclass with the surplus.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Has that ever been done before?
I don't know if it's ever been done before, but, you know, and we reallocate dollars all the time when we close out at the end of the year, and this wouldn't be done until we do the close out. Budget or a few other things here. You've been around long enough when you saw the close out where we may reallocate dollars from one project to something or appropriate dollars instead of last year.
I've seen that.
I've never seen it for a reclass. This is a special situation where we're trying to make sure that the golf closes out in a positive situation, and we won't know that officially until we have the audit done.
So there's no accounting problems with doing
that? No, there's no. From an accounting standpoint, there's no issue.
We have a citizen that had a comment that take time to circle.
Sure.
Like when you want to pay it.
Yeah, Supervisor Nodal.
I have big concerns with this year by recommending for a reclass. I don't think it should be part of this budget, and pretty much for the same reason the Supervisor Noble went through before, I'm definitely going to be against that. I think that should be taken out of it completely, and maybe during the year we can start talking at the committee level to do that for the following year.
For the reclass.
For the reclass. But at this time, I don't believe. I mean, I'm definitely going to go against that. The other question then, going back on this year, all the numbers and the projections that we have here is based on Brighton deals with keeping it in the way it is now. Is it the right course in there?
Right.
And if I recall it correct, that was to keep it open but not to spend any money on that for this year?
No capital dollars.
No capital dollars?
For the Red Course.
Did we kind of figure out what would be the difference if we closed that, or was there any thought being put into that, or no?
Yeah, we had a couple. I can't remember if you were on the committee yet. There was definitely an analysis of closing it. There was probably three or four options that were laid out, and bottom line is the most recent recommendation, which I think was still part of this new committee, right? And then, was that we keep the Red 9 open until we finish the irrigation project, revisit what we do with that Red 9 after that. Not do any irrigation on the Red 9 until we get the other, the blue and white courses complete. That 9 plays into the rotation as the work is done on those other courses. And we had that discussion.
We had that discussion, I believe that was a couple of months ago.
Sure.
On this committee. But the study or prior to that, what numbers were, I think that was done before everyone.
Well, if we closed...
Can anybody remember what...
I can roughly remember if we closed the Red 9, it was like $129,000, something like that. What the county executive has chosen to do here is to take out of the CIP any improvements on irrigation. If you looked at what was in the CIP for this year and the prior budget, it was, I'm throwing out some numbers, but it was $600,000 for irrigation on the blue. So he's actually chosen to not spend anything on golf in CIP. That shows. I mean, it's dropped dramatically. So the reason the Red 9 has been discussed, and I was initially against it, you know, a year ago or whatever, but this year it proved. We didn't have that Red 9 open, we wouldn't have made the money we made this year, because we had construction going on the rest of the golf course. So that saved us, and next year, the same thing. So we're looking at what we were able to get out of the golfers on that Red 9, it paid this year.
Go ahead.
in our analysis too. I mean, we had determined that the Red 9 would make like $170,000 by, you know, in additional revenues. When we did the analysis, it was about $170,000 that it made above and beyond what the other two golf courses could absorb, and we spent about $112,000 in maintenance on that. Okay, when this year came about, we found that we made much more than $170,000. I mean, when we did the analysis, we didn't have the information that we do now, and the revenues on that Red 9 were, you know, far more than the $170,000 that we had originally put into that analysis. And now through FEMA, we did some cart path paving, so our expenses over there came down a little bit too. We still have the irrigation problems that we do, so I think that profitability of that Red 9 has really changed after looking at it through this year's lens.
Right now we have a projection of 3.8%, I believe, above the 2012 budget for revenues. Now, not taking anything away from all the people who work there at the golf courses, but we had like a record year this year. What do you really realistically expect that we can increase the revenue by 3.8?
I do. I think the biggest things that made our year this year was, number one, the weather was great, but number two, our branding and our value that we offer, and everybody in our name recognition is getting out there, and I really think that is huge. I mean, I think that everybody is starting to realize the value that we offer, the quality of the product that we offer, the quality of the guest experience that we offer, and I really think that we're on our way that we are going to continue to produce out there. Yes, I do.
I just want to clarify some to your specific question too, so as you know, where the 2012 revenues were here, that's where they were budgeted.
Right.
Our actual 2012 revenues are going to end up somewhere about here. The 3.8% increase is off that 2012 budgeted, so that's going to end up being about here relative to where our actual 2012 revenues. Is that a fairly accurate?
Yeah.
So it's not 3.8 from where we're going to end up.
Right. Right, from the projections.
So we'll still be under what we are actually going to earn this year.
Anybody else? Supervisor Doug?
Irrigation, I think if we're talking about that, or we talk about capital improvements, I started to.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the pros and cons of putting it off for a year?
The big cons are, you know, we're going to have to put up with the feeble system, you know, for additional years. I mean, we've asked in here, and you'll see that we've asked $65,000 for an irrigation head replacement for some of the heads that are, we cannot get parts for. They do not turn or they leak, and it needs to be done because we're getting big wet spots over on this side of the head and real dry spots over on this side of the head. We can deal with the dry spots, but it's the wet spots that the carts are going through it. We're getting mud puddles. You know, it's just getting destroyed, the turf, you know, just by using the irrigation system. So, you know, the real big cons is we got a $65,000 Band-Aid, you know, that we're asking for on the CIP for this year. Those heads can be reused. We're going to put them in. It's there is some requirement to be on the blue and some on the red, that heads that, you know, just don't work anymore, and we need to replace those. We will be you know, able to take those heads back out and reuse them when we redo the system. This is just similar to the repair that we made this year around the greens. You know, that's one of the big cons. The other con is, you know, the conditioning. You know, you're going to not see as good a conditioning on the blue as you do now that we have the white done, and you're going to see a lot more people requesting to play the white. So the distribution, right now we have an even distribution, 50 like the blue, 50 like the white. for different reasons, but now I would imagine that more and more people are going to like that white rather than the blue because of better conditioning, the car pass being done, and that type of thing, and you're going to see, you know, more heavy concentration of golf on the white, and then, you know, be more difficult to continue to keep that up into the same conditions.
So,
pros, not that I can come up with, sir. I've been thinking for an hour, but no, I can't think of.
Well, I think I might know a pro, and I might need to talk to the pros if I'm right or wrong, but by delaying it a year, you get closer one more year to when the full debt is paid off for the entire golf course, so that hopefully you're pushing out the debt service that will be paid for the irrigation into a year when we may or may not have any more of that $325,000 debt service from the whole, you know, redoing the golf course. So am I sort of right on that, or is that possibly the thinking of delay, the reason why we delayed?
Maybe I can answer that and just ask Al for a little bit of help. When you do borrow the money for any project, Supervisor Noble asked me for when the payment starts on, say you borrow money for the irrigation project, payment starts next year, the next month, the next day, starts right away. If you don't do the project, it's still, if you borrow the money, you have to pay for it starting right away. Is that your question?
Yeah.
You asked earlier.
Yeah. Start, well, if we borrow the money and do the project, if we borrow the money in August, when does the payment start? Following August?
The following year, maybe 6 months.
Okay.
That's why we typically borrow later in the year, so we don't have any capitalized interest.
So is part of the reason for delaying it to try to get some of the golf payments, you know, spread it out to when it ends after that $325,000 payment is?
No, I think the reason for the delay was to bring down the total capital that we had originally programmed in. The CIP last year had about $13,500,000 program, and we brought that down to $10,500,000. So it was a matter of
priority. Okay. I think the main reason, Supervisor Noble, is that the county executive wanted to have a 0% increase. And any payment that we make, you know, adds to that. So it was essentials, and it's not an essential.
And if I can clarify that, debt and principal and interest payment for this budget is
$360,000. Any other discussion before we go on to the CIP part? Supervisor Kalisky?
Mr. Chairman. We looked at the trend of the Gulf operations over the last 10 or 15 years. I spent some time with Dan, I spent some time with Dave out in the regular area and discussed what had taken place, both maintenance and neglect, call what you want. A lot of things had not been taken care of, not been necessarily invested into or reinvested in, of course. The reputation of Kenosha County Golf Operations, and it suffered because of it. Being a new supervisor, I wasn't aware of all the details, but I'm learning more every day. And I think that Dave and Dan have done an outstanding job turning the trend around that was consistently in the red. You can say, oh, we had a great season. We had a month and a half of darn near 100-degree temperatures, which is very difficult to manage golf course, a little play, that stuff when you're not used to it. So I guess you could say it was decent weather as opposed to 50 in rain. But we looked at the numbers that Mr. Buffer put together. You've done an outstanding job trending the right ways, and that is reducing expenses and improving revenues. So I looked at that and I said, you know, we are heading in the right direction. Because 1 year is a snapshot. 3 years, that's a trend. And it's trending the right direction. And I think that Dan and Dave have done an outstanding job and deserve recognition for that. So from my perspective, I actually do support the reclassification because they've done the job. They've proven that they know what they're doing compared And we need to make sure that we don't lose valued assets and our individuals within Kenosha County ranks. I don't know if we vetted out completely the recognition plan. I think you've heard some of the concerns there. You got to come a little bit more if we're going to present that. But on the other hand, I certainly understand where you're trying to go with it. But President Noble's right. You got this one in that part. And maybe it's justified in so. Because if we want these entities to be self-sufficient, there should be incentives to make them self-sufficient and take them off or burden someone off the taxpayers. If we can do that, great. We should reward those individuals for thinking outside the box, rethinking how they do things and things of that nature. I do understand about the irrigation part. It's a big pill, or it's a significant pill to try and swallow right now. We're trying to hold the budget at 0%, so I understand why perhaps we're pushing up. But I also have put out there and see the benefits not only of the paved pathways, but the irrigation system it has done for the course. So I've gotten input from a number of constituents, and they're very pro on the direction of our operations is going. The reputation, because they play in a lot wider circles, not only from Illinois, but from Milwaukee and North, and we're going to start to attract a lot of those clientele that way. So I want to commend you guys for doing a great job. That we can get that handled through there, at least for the reclass. Don't know about the recognition plan. And I guess we got to do the minimum here, and I know the sudden paving of the yard. I want to make sure that was in there. I just want to publicly commend you guys for doing a great job. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Chairman Gunn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple of questions. I had a hard time hearing. So, was Supervisor Noble bringing up the line item 582-1000 with the cutting down of the irrigation from what it was at 665 to 115? Is that what you were talking about?
Yes.
Okay. You mentioned our name recognition and the positive feedback you've been getting. Is that irrigation cut going to hurt any of that, do you foresee, in the next year?
Definitely. By having that irrigation done on the white, that's how we are building our brand. That's how we are presenting the better course conditions. And yes, when we take that out of there, that will have an effect on, you know, our continued momentum. I mean, we'll still have the white as a premier, you know, but then the blue, we'll keep it in as good a shape as we can. But when you have the pipes failing all the time and maintenance workers out there all the time and having to close holes because of failed irrigation, then yes, that will hurt our positive momentum somewhat.
We have to keep that in mind. I mean, if we're praising our golf operations, I'm not saying put it back in there, but really I think some of the problems that we've had are the cause by not doing that stuff as we've been going along. So we need to, I mean, if you're going to put a one-year delay on it, you've got to keep a good handle on how this is going forward, because the last thing we need is people coming out there saying, you know, that piece of that course isn't very good to play. We don't need that happening, or we're going to find ourselves back on it.
Right.
So that's just my comment on that. And then I'll go into these bullet points. I have absolutely no problem with the reclass. Absolutely no problem. Going out there and looking at what the market value is and what should be done is something we should do for all of our departments and divisions. I have no problem with that. Recommended development of this plan. I do have a problem with that. While I want to acknowledge everybody who does a good job to bring something forward, I have to second the comments that were put forward here. I mean, Brookside did a heck of a turnaround, and you know, we're not offering them any incentives. So I really think that could come into play. My question would be, if you would approve some verbiage like recommend development of it, do we know how much it would cost? Does that mean that if there are extra revenues, it would be implemented? Or would that come before boards? Or what is the thought process behind that?
We don't have anything more than a concept fleshed out right now, because we wanted to actually get some feedback from the board kind of figure out how we should start to fold something together. The only things that we really had as far as firm things we're going to build into it were, one, it would only happen if there was non-levy dollars. We made more than it cost us to run the joint, so there was going to be no levy. That was one operating principle. And the second operating principle was that it would be something that would be available to all those in that department. So it wasn't something just for the top folks.
Yeah.
Those were pretty much it.
Yeah, I might have a concern with that. And also, we have to keep in mind that if we have revenue, positively this year, that's no guarantee that we're going to have it in the future. So, I mean, just because you have extra money doesn't mean you need to spend extra money. Like I said, the reclass, I have absolutely no problem with that. The second part, I'm not all that comfortable with, but again, I don't see any type of plan, what it would cost, what you're looking at doing, and I do see a conceptual issue with that. So that would be my comments on that. How many people do you have at the walkthrough, by the way?
Walkthrough for the RFP?
Yeah. And when is the RFP due for that?
Friday this week.
Yeah, Friday the 12th is when all the bids are going to be submitted, have to be submitted by.
Thank you.
Thank you. There we go. Any other questions? We'll move on to CIP.
In CIP, there's a few items listed there. There's some equipment, speed roller, sand crawl, fix up the pickup with a plow, pull behind blower, and we want to re-roof the cold storage to protect the items that are inside of there. Some ball washers and rakes will periodically need to be replaced. $65,000 for the irrigation heads for the blue cars that we spoke about, and then painting the shop yard at Brightondale. There's a real concern that the condition of the shop yard right now is causing damage to the mowers, that the $35,000 mowers that people actually have to drive around the holes and back up. It's kind of like a miniature golf course to get the equipment stored away. So the $50,000 is the estimate to pay the shop yard.
Any questions on anything in the CIP? If not, we get a motion on the golf budget here. If there's any amendments that you don't really need an amendment on these bullet points, but I've sensed that people feel a certain way there, so I would put that in a motion. Then any discussion on the, again, this is giving a recommendation to the Finance Committee. Supervisor Noodle.
I'd like to make a motion to strike those first two bullet points and send it with a positive recommendation to Finance to approve as presented with the exception.
We have a second to strike the first two bullet points. To strike the first two bullet points send it to the Finance Committee. We have a second.
Both of them?
Yes.
The reclass and the...
Yes.
Yes.
We have a second. Motion fails. Supervisor Noble?
I would make a recommendation that we adopt this with striking the second bullet point. Recommend development of golf department performance recognition plan. In my opinion, they can bring something forward, but I don't think it should and needs to be in the budget.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Skliski. Any discussion? Supervisor Noodle.
Well, as much as I'd like to commend the golf department and everybody else in there for the good job that they did it, I cannot support this year, especially when we're asking everybody else to take a cut, or just about every single one is taking a cut, but not directly, maybe with pays, but by paying some to their insurance or retirement account. And now we're asking them maybe to give an increase to one department or to
some. Actually, what this is it's a increase of two employees.
Well, it would be like giving an increase to two people, two employees in the county workforce.
Correct.
So, and when we're asking everybody else to take a cut, I don't think we should give that increase to anybody.
Thank you, Supervisor Hoto. Anyone else? On the motion to send this on to finance with a positive recommendation, removal of the second bullet point there, recommending a performance recognition plan. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carries. View the governance.
Aye.
Thank you. We will move on to highways. Any citizens' comments on highway department budget? Or anything with to do with highways? If not, Jim?
Okay. Page 4 is a summary of the highway budget. In your big book, it's on pages 95 through 104. And CIP detail is in the back. It is getting closer to one back. Again, these are the same numbers that are on the front page. I'll go through the notes section. If in 2012 and in 2013, you add together salary, casual pay, ANS, and vacation, you come up with a number of $3,564,000. In 2013, there's a reclass of some of those items. The 2012 budget included some temporary pay for outside people. We hired them. They come inside. In 2013, there is no casual pay category. It becomes part of salary. So you really have to add all this payroll together. And in 2013, the number comes out to be $2,000 less at $5.2 million. So it's basically flat, the salary component, the payroll component from 1 year to the next. Retirement pay and vacation pay, again, are per the formulas or per the employee, based on each individual employee, what they selected or what they have coming to them. Again, there's a support service cross charge, which is coming in here, of $137,000, which didn't exist before. A chunk of it, about half of it, was in salaries before, which comes out, and then two people go in here. Miscellaneous contractual services. We were talking about the increase in the, I don't know if it's triannual gravel crushing. I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but I guess it's every 3 years. Other operating supplies. This is where we capture our non-highway paving costs. The budget's going up, but so is the billing end of it. And if we exceed the budget for these non-highway paving, we will do that work and then turn around and bill it out to whoever we do it for. So you see an increase in expense, but you also see an increase in the revenue section to offset that. Gas and oil, there's a budget increase from $3.30 to $3.40, which is about 3% or about $30,000 when we're using it historical usage amounts. So there's an increase in gas and oil. Signed parts and supplies, there's a historical spending trend for increase from 2012 to 2013. In salt, we have a bit of good news. The price of salt is going down by about 3% from 2012 to 2013. We buy an awful lot of salt. The revenue section, transportation aids, will be up. The state sends us a letter and they are telling us that transportation aids will be up from 2012 to 2013. At the same time, the state is also telling us that the amount we can expect to do work for them and bill them for their work is down. The increase and decrease somewhat offset each other. But yet, at the same time, if we do work for the state, we will bill them. And historically, I don't want to say it almost doesn't matter what they tell us this time of the year. If they ask us to do the work, we will do it and we will bill them for it. And sundry billings, that's a category we use where we bill for this non-highway paving. The expense is up this year significantly over the budget, so we're going
Great.
A couple of highlights I want to make sure the committee understands is that we do have included in here the salaries for a new public works civil engineer position. And what's driving that is Mr. Gary Sipsman, because we want Gary to stay around for at least another 30 years, but I believe Gary has things to do on a, he's got a bucket list as we all do. So like I say, I don't want to overemphasize that we'd like to keep around another 30 years. I know that that's not part of his game plan. And we have no backup to Gary right now from a technical standpoint. Gary manages, he's probably got about 35 projects in play right now that some are in various stages of beginning or completion that go from now out probably about 6 years. If we don't bring somebody on so that we can work with Gary over the next couple of years, begin that handoff, at least on that side of it. We've got folks, we've got supervisory staff in the department that can manage the day-to-day operations, but those projects, Gary's the guy, and we need to develop some capability for him to start to groom and hand off those projects so there is, in fact, a transition plan in place for those projects and they continue to be managed as competently as Gary manages them. So we did include that in the budget this year. Feel very strongly about that, the executive does. We've gone over it with the chairman as well in a couple briefings. So that's a key piece. And the second piece is that of the truck driver ones that we put into the budget last year, folks that weren't here, what we had done when the Act 10 went in place is we did a drop, basically, for our starting wages were pretty darn high, higher than the marketplace as far as truck drivers go. So we had put in a reduced pay scale. We brought guys in at a starting wage of $15 an hour, which is actually low relative to the marketplace. The marketplace actually, based on prevailing wage data that we get from the state, as well as a survey, a pretty complete survey that Bob did, is right around $18 an hour is probably where we need to be. We're not suggesting that we bump these guys up that quickly, but by the same token, we know that the guys that we've hired, all of whom that we've kept through the probationary, 1 year probationary period, are very competent. In a lot of cases, very highly skilled and more skilled, bring more to the table than a lot of our guys that have been here a while had. In any event, we have got money budgeted in this budget to give those guys a bump January 1st and a bump on their anniversary. We'll take them roughly into a $17 an hour range. So we're still below what the marketplace is, but we don't want to have any turnover with those guys. We want to keep that crew. It's still at a much reduced rate. To give you an idea, our top truck drivers under the old bargaining unit, those are $26 plus an hour people. We're still well below where those guys are paid. So we're still accruing an ongoing savings. By the same token, we want to get those are, we know that our truck drivers under the old contract are the highest paid in the state, hands down, nobody comes close. These new guys, this new breed of truck driver that we brought in, though, is below the marketplace. We want to at least be competitive with the marketplace. The goal is to be competitive so we can attract and retain people and still have a bridge for them to work with and move forward within the system. But so we've included money for that as well. There's money in there to cover pay raises for those $15 an hour truck driver ones. Those are the two big pieces.
Henry, that civil engineer, also there's an aspect with Mr. Belcher's department.
Yeah, it's kind of the way we got it set up right now is there's this civil engineer would be, I won't say exclusively, but I'm going to say pretty much exclusively working with Gary on highway department stuff. The $38,000 or $50,000 that's in the KCC support, that really is the Mr. Melcher planning and development piece that whether we end up contracting out for that or hiring people part-time as needed to do the engineering piece needed for planning and development, that's yet to be determined. That'll really be kind of George's baby that we'll work with him on. But the goal is to kind of to start to at least connect up some of these engineering duties and at least have some a little bit more bigger than the sum is bigger than a whole, or you know what I'm saying. That's what we're trying to get to with engineering.
So, any questions so far here, Supervisor Skolitsky?
Thanks, Chair. With the civil engineers, you mentioned for us 4 seconds, because we're out of time.
Mr. Dolly, Gary, speak to it. You do look like you're going to say something. Gary, you're in a few words, so I want to let you speak.
At this point, that person would need to become familiarized with all of the projects, the highway, bridge, and across the board DPW projects. But a big part of it also is, for example, this year we're well above $300,000 in consultant fees just for construction management on all of the projects we have going. That doesn't include all of the engineering management that goes on with projects that are just in the design or development phase. So I would expect that person to pick up a lot of that type of work that is going out to consulting engineering firms now, and we would significantly be able to reduce the amount of money that we are spending on consultant engineers, in addition to obviously becoming familiar with project management on the county level too.
Okay. Yeah, and I know I said playing adults in
probably they don't get too good.
CIP is totally different than the kind of money that you can use for wages. There's a definite disconnect there. This is capital improvement money that is bonded and borrowed. It's got nothing to do with payroll at all. So if you're looking for improvement for employees, you have to find it.
Help.
Somewhere else.
That makes it a lot more difficult.
And you also have to do a balancing act, and if you find it somewhere, so that's the beauty of budget time. You have to work that act. Before we get into the CIP, I'll just mention that in my discussions with the county executive and Mr. Arbit and couple others is that the highway department, we have, and I've been part of it also, we've neglected things with the highway department, just as everyone has had to. This year, the county executive made an effort. If you look at the Department of Public Works, it's one of the few departments that actually has an increase in the in the budget. It's $79,000. I think it's not large, but I mean at a zero. Because there's some other items that we cut, like the irrigation and you know, things like that. But we have neglected equipment with the highway department. We've neglected paving. We've had to. And the budget this year is trying to pick some of that up. It's not dramatic, but it's... So we can move into the CIP. Jim?
Okay. Total CIP for 2013 for highway is $6.7 million, and about $2.5 million of it is in equipment. As Chairman Elberman just said, we're going to try to catch up and replace tandem dump trucks, single-axle dump trucks, one-ton dump trucks, tri-axle excavator. That equipment that is very costly to repair and maintain. Highway department keeps a really detailed schedule of maintenance for vehicles, and some of these vehicles we spent some money on, and we need a vehicle to do the work. So we are we have in the budget here to replace these items. Also, the local road improvements is money that is $600,000 we'll spend on our local roads. We actually get half of that back, which is included in that revenue number at the bottom. Highway G is the second phase. We're doing half of it this year, and then we'll finish it next year. We're doing 15th to 18th this year, Gary?
Yes.
18th to 22nd next year, right?
Correct.
And that's $1.5 million, and after we do that, that is, there's an intergovernmental agreement to turn it over to the city. The Highway H bike lanes, which will go from Highway 50 to the state line, that's $1.1 million. We get back 80% of that from the federal government. That's the other big chunk of that revenue, about $900,000. And then transportation infrastructure improvements is our paving program, where we'll pave the highways, and that's where we charge it when we do that. And there's some capitalized labor in there, maybe $250,000, and then the balance of it is cost of paving. So the total expense is $6.7 million, and we'll get $1.2 million back, which leaves us borrowing $5.5 million. And no, I don't know what a crash cushion is.
And we did cut some large items out of this. Highway K, stuff that was going to be in this. Highway K, that's not going to get done. What else was there, Ray, that we cut out?
Highway K was the biggest piece, Gary, because how much was that?
Yeah, that was over $3 million alone just for that project.
That was a big... Rather old day.
How many miles is that related in the paving?
13.
That's what we've been doing pretty much.
We used to do 18, yeah. So, but yeah. Now the new normal has been 13. Any questions on the CIP? Supervisor Noble.
State Highway 50, the state line, but it hasn't been that long that we redid State Highway. I'm sorry, State County Highway H from State Highway 50 to state line. It seems to me it was like 6 years ago that was done. Why are we redoing it all?
Just
the fact that we get 80% of it paid, what are we doing?
It's the bike lanes.
It's only a widening on each side. We're going to widen. The existing paved shoulders are 3 feet. The widening would add an additional 2 feet for a total of the 5 feet in the bike lane, and then it would be signed and marked. It's not, there's a little bit more to it because trying to maneuver bikes through intersections, there's a little bit more construction necessary at the various intersections, but it's not an overlay of the travel lanes, it's only a widening of the existing pavement.
And why, I mean, it's nice to get 80% reimbursed, why are they even offering that?
Well, there's a program called Transportation Enhancements that funds projects similar to this. We have a project going on right now where we're developing a comprehensive bike plan throughout Kenosha County, and part of that is a pre-existing plan that the Village of Pleasant Prairie completed that had the Highway H bike lanes as part of their comprehensive plan for the village. So that road fit into the village's plans. It fits into the new comprehensive countywide plan that we're developing. The money was available in the program. We applied for it, and it was approved. It wasn't just grabbed out of thin air. There was a lot of planning on the village's part and the county's part to put together this. To add to that, we are now working with Lake County, who has agreed to extend the lanes from the state line south to Russell Road, and then both east and west on Russell Road to existing paths in Lake County. So it's developed into not only this segment on Highway H, but a regional plan. So it's really well thought out, well planned, and hopefully it'll be very successful. At the path, the bike facilities paths that we have constructed this year and last year have just been incredibly popular, both on the county trunk system and in the park system.
Is there some plan in place to get something on each west of Kenosha County, like say Bain Station Road? Because I know, they put in at Highway C, I-94, they got a beautiful bike path, and it goes like 100 feet and stops.
Yeah, that's part of the Village of Pleasant Prairie plan. In fact, they put in the first phase of that, not well known, but usable, beginning at the vicinity of Highway H in Prairie Springs Park. There's a path that starts heading westerly and toward, eventually will hook up with Highway C. Just east of I-94, and then cross over into...
Is that over the sewer, the one you're talking about over the sewer?
Yeah, that's the one that we just built, yes. So they're heading that way. All of these, there's limited amount of funding. Unfortunately, all of these projects are incredibly expensive, so, all the municipalities are similar to us. We have to do them in phases, so that's the case in the village.
Well, sorry to get into that, but it's good to know that it's going to go somewhere, because I see that one under Highway C, and I was like, that had to cost a lot of money, and it goes 100 feet on either side of the interstate ends.
Anything else on the highways? Supervisor Sikorski?
I'm familiar with H, and I think a lot of us are. Yeah, some high speed traffic going down the lane, a lot of large vehicles, 2 feet. I'm just looking at this up here. You can take a lot of things out. I think our permit is in the administration, a couple $100,000. It's going to be the county contribution. That's 80% reimbursement. Is there something more immediate right now that you guys could use in the highway department versus, I just see a lot of bike paths, I just don't see a lot of usage. But I'm not around like you are to see during the day. Perhaps you can correct me on that and invite you to do so. But I see a lot of money. They are very expensive. If you put into them, not a lot of usage. And we've got maybe some other needs in your department that perhaps we could put a couple $100,000 into. And feel free to just let me know what your thoughts are.
Well, there's always needs and the resurfacing program, but I, you know, the there's money available in this particular program that can only be used for specific projects such as the bike lanes or bike paths or any type of bike facilities. And it just fit into the plan. Can money be used elsewhere? I mean, sure. Yeah. I mean, we always have areas that are in need of improvement. But it was just an opportunity to use the funds. I mean, like pennies on the dollar. You're getting these bike lanes, you know, for such a small percentage of the actual cost. We just thought we'd take advantage of that opportunity. But to say there's no other place to use it, I couldn't do that. There certainly are other areas.
Has there been any kind of study for the county or if you have any personal knowledge of reserves? And then this kind of gray area, how much usage we're actually getting from all these proposed bike trails in fairly tough economic times, and where nice to have versus must haves. Many times, tough decisions need to be made. That's why I'm getting a sense, because I'm not, I know H, where the intersections you're talking about, I don't think I let my dogs ride on that. There's some very 55 would be lucky to keep that guy's speed.
Just to add something,
go ahead.
Because I think one of the things that with the bike path thing, because I was kind of skeptical of these kind of things when I first came to the county too, but the more I look at them, we're still looking at it though through our 2012 lenses. And if you really look at there's this planning commission, like the planning commission comprehensive, and how that hooks up regionally, we look at them still as a recreational, pretty much 100% recreational. Going forward, you just saw in California gas pushing $6 a gallon. There are things that are going to change going forward in the next 10 to 15 years, maybe 20 years, that are, bikes may not be viewed as strictly a recreational form of transportation. They may not take you from your home to work, but there may be depots that you go there and then you get to the depot and there's just the network that's being developed now. I think, although it's primarily used for recreational use right now, I don't know that that's what's going to happen going forward. And some of the things that are getting connected now as part of the overall planning process, I think are going to lay the foundation for those to become practical beyond just recreational things. To the point of a 3-foot paved shoulder versus a 5-foot, or is it 5 or 6 foot on this one, Gary? For the safety reason, because, with that 2 or 3 foot paved shoulder, to ride alongside 45 or 50 mile an hour traffic is more than I want to deal with. But when you construct them then to the U.S. standards with our 5-plus foot and the proper markings and things are signed, you see now when you go to Chicago or any of the very urban areas now that bikes are being, they're starting to morph from just a purely recreational thing into more of a practical kind of thing. So I think that's something that's to be considered too long term.
And I can concur with you in a more urban setting, but in a more rural setting, which we do live in, I think we're still going to see it more just recreational. It just looks like a lot of money to expend out there. I realize we're seeing we have 80% reimbursed by the feds, of course, they have no money either, but it is all about money too. So that's my only concern, is I think I can see bigger and better uses for this amount of money.
Chairman Gantz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to make a comment to Supervisor Stulitzki. My backyard butts up against the bike trail. So if you want a usage survey, it's used all the time. I'm over at the bike trail on 30th and 89th that heads down to Illinois, and I'm telling you, high schools run on it. People are on it all the time. There's very rarely a time where you can look down that bike trail and see nobody on there. And for the economic times that you mentioned, that's exactly why you need this stuff. That's a good way. Some people can't afford going to the gyms or doing other things. They walk on bike trails and ride their bikes on bike trails. So
thoroughly think they did a good job with the bike plan and the interconnecting everything and getting the arrangements with the Illinois county to hook it up. So I think that's a pretty good idea. And while I'm up here, I'm also going to talk about the civil engineer. I'll give you one analogy to that. At Joint Services, we had a director leave recently, and we had to pay her to stay on because there was no second in that department. And you're going to end up spending more money and losing more knowledge if you don't get somebody to back up your frontline administrative positions. So that's just an analogy I wanted to share with you. So, thank you.
Supervisor Noble?
I was just going to suggest that perhaps why don't you put a counter on that stretch along Highway E on the bike path to find out what the bike count is. Like you put a counter on a highway, put a counter on that bike path from the new one we just put in for $400,000. I understand what he's talking about. That does get a lot of use. But that one we put in for $400,000, I go in there, you know, from going out to Petrified Springs along County Highway E. Every time I go by there, the whole stretch, I never see one bike on that whole stretch.
I concur.
Yep. Never see anybody on it.
Any other questions on the CIP or discussion? And I would suggest, I think we've talked about the bike pass enough. And if someone would like to make a motion to eliminate something or add something to the budget, now's the time.
No, I'm just asking that he put a counter on that bike path, that's all.
Right. I'm just trying to get us off of this and on to the next page. Any other discussion on the CIP? If not, could we have a motion on the highway budget? Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman.
I'm not saying there can't be amendments. I'm saying...
Yeah, I just had a quick question. I forgot.
Right.
Because we were talking about the question earlier. Not to say that it's for here, but is it something that could be just amortized where, you know, what your basic fee or charge is going to be? We just add the question every year a little bit and where it moves? Or is that just not feasible? I'm just asking a question.
To Al's point, I think that we could do that, but he's saying in the whole scheme of
things, it's such a small
okay. amount that it's not really worth it.
Thank you. Sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah. If there was enough there on that bike path, that's even in my district, to pay for the irrigation on the golf course, I'd probably make the motion, but there isn't enough there. There's only $200,000 of our money. So I'm not going to make the motion. But I really do believe we need to start analyzing these bike paths to find out if anybody's using them, other than where he's talking.
Adopt the highway budget. Page 4 of our documents this evening. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Do the governance? It's carried. We'll move on to facilities. Now, before we start facilities here, I want to say at least one thing. We finished up a lot of projects here. And are finishing up a lot of projects. So there's not a whole lot of new stuff there. Courthouse is done. This parking nightmare is finally going to be done. So you don't see a whole lot here. So a lot of this, and I think the county executive said it the other night, is we're sitting, taking a look, not going to spend a whole lot of money right now, and finish these things up. And I think that's where this budget is, right? So who's doing this one?
Yep. I'll start off.
Okay.
Page 5, top, and
reduction here in the levy of about $330,000 from 2012 to 2013. Under the note section, the salaries, we're planning a slight decrease in salary. Well, first of all, what we've done, we've added together the public safety building, the human services building, the facilities expenses, and what we call the Civic Center, which is all the places downtown, including the courthouse, the Mount Air building, the administration building, this facility, and the detention center. So all those buildings, plus the public safety building and the job center, are all added together here. In your book, they are in different sections. We've combined them all here for this budget purpose. In the salary area, there'll be a decrease due to a reorganization, and I think Ray will explain that in a little bit of detail after we go through these notes. And we didn't budget the full effect of the savings of this reorganization in 2013, although we did plan on having a reduction in salaries of about $25,000 from 2012 to 2013. Retirement and medical expenses, again, are decreases for the formula or for the new plan. Utilities are, we're running below our 2012 budget, so we lowered it for 2013. Plus, we're anticipating the cost of natural gas to go down just a little bit, like 1%, and electricity to be flat. No increases in utilities for next year. And we could have some savings, there's that potential, for some of the new initiatives or some of the things that we'll be either putting in next year or have put in this year. Building equipment maintenance, there'll be an increase in those expenses. There are some new elevator inspections we have to do. We also have to do some generator service testing, and we're going to farm out our firing range maintenance. It's not a big number, but it is an increase for the current year budget. There'll be an increase in consulting expenses in account 529900. That was, I believe, a $40,000 increase. This is, we're going to do some studying this year on our electrical services and our HVAC capacity at many of the buildings to be sure. Because looking forward, there's a request from people like IT that there isn't enough electrical service to cover some of the things they'd like to do as they put new equipment in. So before we decide what type of new equipment we do want to put in, we're going to do some studies to make sure that we know exactly what our current capacities are and what additional capacity we need in order to make these changes. The supplies account for between $300 and $5,000, expecting an increase in purchases of cleaning equipment and outdoor equipment, mowers, things to that effect. Building maintenance supplies, 2012 budget was high to cover some of the KCAP interim maintenance that we had to do this year. 2011 was lower, and 2013 will go back down. We will not need to do that amount of maintenance like we're doing for KCAP this year. Emergency repairs, 2013 will be down from 2012. It's just an estimate. It's a small amount. It's a contingency, and we had a small spend in 2011. Major maintenance repairs, there's a court cost of one court refresh this year. We're not planning to spend as much next year. Major maintenance repairs. And then the cross charge out, there's low. Any expenses that are maintenance expenses that are incurred at the job center are actually cross charged out as part of the billings that they do for their services. Their expenses at the job center for maintenance for facilities here will be lower in 2012 or 2013 than they were in 2012, so we will cross charge out less. It's a zero balancing cost center. On the revenue side, the jail and traffic fine income, slight decrease in 2013. I think our 2012 budget is high. We're not running that high, so it'll be a small decrease. Parking structure revenue, We haven't really finalized the exact rates yet, but we will, we're forecasting conservatively an increase in the revenue coming from the parking structure once all the security features in the gates and the billing system are in, so we'll have some more revenue there. And a safety building rental increase, which is per the intergovernmental agreement with the city, will increase from 2012 to 2013.
Any questions before we move on to capital budget? Great.
I just want to give a little insight into the facilities reorg part of things, since it's referenced a couple times in there. And there's a the next page, actually, page 6, will give you a pretty good narrative of basically what we're trying to do this year. Beginning in 13, we will have the flexibility to more effectively schedule and manage facility operations. Historically, given somewhat restrictive work rules and scheduling requirements, from a maintenance standpoint, most county buildings were managed somewhat as kind of little islands. They were kind of little islands unto themselves. The last few months, we've worked on developing a reorganization framework that will permit a more effective utilization of in-house staff as well as contracted resources. I've taken into consideration some of our current position vacancies and potential staff retirements. We're planning to phase this reorganization in throughout 2013. And the bullet points just kind of hit the high points. Currently, we've got 36 facility staff. We're going to be moving that. The goal is to get that to 33, a decrease of 3 full-time equivalents. Of the current 36, 7 are building chiefs. This will move down to 5. We're going to do more sharing of resources, skilled resources, between buildings. Brookside, it was kind of an interesting history between, again, for the newer community owners, Local 168 was the union for all facilities maintenance folks. Our building chiefs, even though they're called chiefs, are unionized positions. They function as lead workers, more or less. Highly skilled guys, but as well as the relief folks are highly skilled, but they're all within the umbrella of 168, with the exception of Brookside. Brookside had a couple 168 folks there, and they had a 1392 person as well. And there's a history to that. But in any event, 1392s and 168s contracts, both of those contracts expire at the end of this year. That's why we started to look at how it's going to make sense to manage things going forward. Within the Brookside operation, they've actually got classifications of building maintenance helpers, domestic service helpers, all these different people that are kind of some form of housekeeper person. And they were restricted in what they could do to really just inside stuff, whereas the one building chief they had and two relief guys had to do all of the, anything that was outside was pretty much on their plate. So if there wasn't enough horsepower to cover a snowstorm, we had to call guys in on overtime to help up with that of these skilled people. Basically, through quite a few machinations, Brookside relooked at what they've got to work with in terms of their domestic service helpers, their building maintenance helpers, these inside people, by reclassifying some of those positions to more custodial type positions in nature and coming up with a completely new schedule. So that they can staff 3 shifts at 7 days a week, it should dramatically increase the amount of horsepower they've got to cover snow situations, weather events, as well as simple breaker flips, bulb burns out, light maintenance type activities that our custodial staff is perfectly comfortable doing, but their inside housekeeping folks don't do right now. By rejiggering all of that, basically, we end up, we'll have a building chief and one relief person there. So on the 168 side, we pick up one position, full-time equivalent. And with their rejiggering, another technical, usually I reserve that for accounting discussions, but rejiggering of the staff on in the inside, they're going to actually reduce by one full-time equivalent of their housekeeping staff as well and be able to cover things a lot more effectively than what they've got right now. There's certain activities that they have to do on first shift now when the place is in full operation, that if they can do them on second and third shift, meaning the kitchen and some other areas require some pretty extensive PMing, they'll be able to do it much more efficiently when the place is shut down. So that's what's happening at the Brookside. Another key piece is that the third or fourth bullet point there, we want to take two of the vacant positions that we've got right now that are open, reclassify one to an electrician, card-carrying electrician, and a card-carrying HVAC, what we're calling HVAC specialist, basically a card-carrying HVAC repair person. so that for, we can use those folks then wherever in our county system to help out with HVAC and electrical repairs. Because right now, as Ron will tell you, the amount of money that we contract out for those types of services is pretty significant. I think within the facilities budget, we had, boy, sitting there, about $70,000, I think, if I remember right.
We were at $80,000 for HVAC, conservatively $50,000 for the electrician. That's without adding in everything that IT has.
Right. IT does a lot of low voltage electrical work as well, cabling and low voltage electrical. So we're not saying we're going to eliminate that in 2013, but after we get these two positions in place and we really see what impact we have going into 2014, we should be, we're reducing it slightly next year, Jim, I think to the tune of about 20 grand.
Yeah, we just lowered salaries by 25,000. We didn't lower anything else yet.
But as we get the positions in place, we anticipate being able to reduce our outside contracted costs for a lot of those emergency services and off-type hours services, and just be able to respond to stuff a lot quicker because we'll have inside resources to do it, as well as be able to work with our other staff to help train them to help, you know, do a lot of this stuff. So we're going. So that's another bullet point. So the last point is we anticipate it'll take most of 2013 to really fully implement the whole reorganization, given kind of the Brookside piece and the multi-building kind of reshuffling of people. But we are projecting when fully implemented, total savings will be in excess. We were asked to conservatively move that to $100,000. It should be significantly more than that, but it will safely be $100,000 without a doubt going forward once we are fully implemented. So that just gives you a little bit more flesh to what's going on in facilities.
Okay, we'll go back to page 5, and then any questions anybody has on the budget. Supervisor Dodge?
Yeah, I understand you're going ahead with the status quo, but there's a question I'm going to have to ask. And it came from the conference that we were at, Wisconsin County's conference, and specifically the Act 10. Bob, maybe you can help us on this. The county's specialist attorneys gave us a speech as to what was going to happen with Judge Colich's decision. However, they claim that if it's not overturned, that the contracts that are in effect now would remain in effect. If that happens, how is that going to affect our budget? Where would we get the extra money to cover for that?
I'll respond first. That's one of the reasons that we didn't take the big chunk. We only did like $20,000. We talked about that same thing because we could have taken a lot more based on what we're projecting, but because of the kind of the gray and the fuzziness of that whole thing, we didn't feel comfortable doing that. So we only pulled out $20,000 in 2013. Everything's budgeted pretty much the way it's staffed right now for that very reason.
Any other questions? We don't need anything any further than that.
Okay, I just thought I had to bring it up.
Yes. Well, they took that into consideration.
Yeah. Okay.
Facilities, Supervisor Zelisky.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With the HVAC and the electrician, I think it's a great thing. Because they're certified electrician and HVAC, is kind of the goal is maybe them to work alongside some of the other personnel and unless they've got a lead and instruct what's going on, these guys will.
Yeah, first, having those resources in-house, being able to address the problem straight up without having to call somebody in, that's going to be valuable. But there's going to be folks working alongside them that are just, they're going to be able to maybe not get to the full, I don't know if we're going to put a full-blown apprenticeship program, we didn't talk about that, but by just those folks working, our staff can become more skilled and more familiar with stuff too. So it's going to improve the whole operation.
Yeah, and we are about 130 grand.
Anything else? Want to move on to the CIP?
Yeah, the capital for this facilities area appears in a lot of different places in your book. It can be at any of the downtown facilities, the detention. Convention Center or this facility, Public Safety Building, Human Services, there are all these various projects are listed here, none of them being what I would consider to be very large. The air handling units are countywide. There's several that need to be replaced. There's a lot of detail in your book looking forward for however many years. But several of our facilities, the safety building, this building, the job center, they're all turning 20, 25 years old. Things need to be replaced. We have to break up the public safety building separate here as a second section here because that's part of the intergovernmental agreement. Human services is just the $49,000 for they're doing two bathrooms this year. They'll do two next year. Capital projects, $75,000. It's money that we receive from waste management, and we turn it around and spend it on developing our parks. KCAP restoration, that's the engineering phase of redoing that building. The total building envelope and the roof, I think the total outlay of construction, which is in the CIP for 2014, is about $1.5 million. Then the joint services software is, I'm just going to read it in the book. That's to replace the entire software system for the public safety building at joint services. This is the dispatch system, the mobile data computers, the record management system, the jail management system. Will in the CIP, there's $500,000 next year and then $1.2 million the following year. And this is used by all the agencies, the Sheriff's Department, the Police Department, and the Fire Department. And as Chairman Elberman said, or Ray said, there's many small projects here, but nothing to the tune of the courthouse, which was $2.5 million for the safety building here. So it's a year to kind of throttle back and take care of some of these small projects.
Any questions on the CIP?
On the software that you're just talking about, Jim, is that our share by the border and the other half is city? Will that take care of everything, or is that just a phase?
Well, but over the two-year period, it should take care of everything.
I don't know that we can answer that because it's really not our element. We have some insight. It's kind of one of those things that shows up in our budget. Why it does, but
it was really the final thing was moved to joint services by him. But I think that full cost was a was pretty somewhere around $3 million is what they're projecting right now, but we don't even know until we get the RFP. Actually how we're gonna end up structuring it for as a holding place, we put our portion of another, I believe it was $1.7 million that they figured they need next year. But we're gonna look at other mechanisms for possible funding next year. Right now, we needed to fund this and this will move forward and that people will drive it forward. I'm sure that's how much we need to look for closer to the city on the cost of how it's funded and how it's going to go.
So is the $525,000?
That was our proportion of, I think, $1.7 million or so that they said was our portion.
Is that portion then being also
services budget?
No, it's not in the scale
budget.
It's just in the service budget. Okay. So, I mean, we're not counting twice then?
No.
Because
I'm
talking
about,
so is it here and there, or just here?
Just here.
Somewhere to put it?
Yes.
Why wouldn't they put it there?
It's actually, and it's a capital project for the services budget.
Anything else on facilities? If not, we have a motion to approve. Pardon?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Moved by Supervisor Nudo to approve as presented. Do I have a second? Second by Supervisor Zelisky. Any other further discussion? Not all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? To you, the governance. Move on to the support services. Now, we already talked about this, so we shouldn't have to spend a lot of time explaining this one again, right, Rick?
Right, I'm not good. I will shut up. I will let Jim say a few things, and I will sit quietly here.
Well, no, I mean, we already, we
right,
spent.
We've covered it.
Yes.
We've covered the concept.
Go ahead, Jim.
Are there any more questions about support services?
Yeah. If not, can we have a motion on support services budget?
Make a motion.
Moved by Supervisor Skliski, seconded by Supervisor Noble. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Do the governance? That's approved.
Page 9 is Doug. No, did you want to ask specifically on that dog park? That's page 9.
What's that?
I said page 9 is dog park. It's the last page.
Yeah.
Dog parks is not levy money. They're only allowed to spend what they take in from contributions or people who buy or pay to use the dog park. So there's $20,000 of revenue and $20,000 of expenses.
Any questions on a dog park?
If they have a fence gets knocked down or something like that, or they come out of that, there's no capital.
No money can be spent.
Okay. Period.
We get blue sheets that show expenses from some of our meetings, and it shows electrical charges for dog parks. How is that paid for?
What charges?
Electrical utility bill.
Dog parks.
Dog parks,
yeah. That's paid
absolutely.
For by the permits that the people buy.
Right.
Or the taxpayer pay that?
Yep. All the license, the daily donations, or daily fees, and the annual fees for the tags, that's where all that comes from.
So that's
how about mowing the grass? Do you apportion what the share of that is, or?
No, we don't bill that out. We cut it anyways, what the dogs don't wear off. We mowed it before. It was a dog park, we just still mow it.
So the mowing we do is part of the park, out of the park's budget.
Right.
Any further questions? Motion to approve the dog park's budget?
So moved.
Moved by Supervisor Dodd, seconded by Supervisor Noble. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Do the governance? I believe we're done. This was very well done tonight. I want to thank the departments for putting together a good list of documents here for us to work off of. Very easy to follow, and we're not flipping around the budget book, and I think everybody had a good knowledge. And again, to all the committee, there's plenty of time for more questions. Things can be redone here at a couple different times. So, motion to adjourn, Supervisor Skliski.
I'll second your comments, and it's just a lot of work. We really appreciate all the questions. Really take a look at where we tighten our belts and be more efficient and be doing things and rethinking the way that we run the operations. First, I want to thank you guys. You did a great job. Thank you.
Moved by Supervisor Noble.
Second.
Supervisor Nuno, second. All of the fair to adjourn.
Aye.
You the governance? She was very exuberant there.
I can't.